Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National People Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It is your republic. It's all you've got left of your republic. So go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on the donate button and send a donation. Because literally, no joking, it does cost a lot of money to do this. You need all sorts of things for a website. You need DDoS protection, which is denial of service attacks. You have to be protected from things. There's a lot of expenses. And you know that Republic Broadcasting is going to be under attack yet again. It has been. There's been all sorts of problems. And John Statmiller takes care of them. And he provides a place for us. And so really go there and make a donation, because everybody is getting kicked off their Twitters and getting kicked off their other platforms. Nobody's gotten kicked off of RBN yet. Let's keep it that way. So do that, and then go to nationalpeople.com, and right up at the top, you don't have to scroll down, it's right up at the top where it should be, the link to the co-certified app. Lots of apps are getting taken off of the app stores, the Apple store, or whatever it's called, the Google Play Bin, I don't know what it's called, but they're getting kicked off. The most awesome app is the co-certified app, and you want to download it, you want to get used to using it, and if you can't download it because of Tim Cook being gay, then just use it online. But let's do that. Co-certified. It's everything you want to be. Okay, so here we are. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on again, Patrick. And wow, we were talking before about Trump talking about media and being deplatformed. The talk that Trump could start a media outlet when he's gone, I don't see that happening if he can't have a Twitter. But if Trump is for real, if he wasn't a shill from the beginning, I think he's either going to have to go to jail or leave the country. What country would he go to? What do you recommend?
I'd recommend going to Russia. And so what? They always say he was a Putin puppet anyway. Well, if he's going to be Putin's puppet, he ought to at least meet Putin and get to know him, right? And I would love him to be a Putin, not puppet per se, but protege. Putin has great experience, 20 years of experience running a huge country. And Trump, while Trump was president, I always thought that was the number one thing he needed to do was establish a relationship with Vladimir Putin, and that would translate into all sorts of stuff. If they could get some cooperation and have some successes in defeating ISIS together and doing some things together, it would have built up political capital for Trump. And that could have translated into other things at home. And I'm sure Putin could have given him advice. I'm sure Putin would know how to handle Chucky Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. So that's what I'd say.
Trump in Russia. How about the Snowden podcast hour with the guest host Donald Trump? That would be great. Trump and Snowden, and yeah.
Well, I think the logic people have for Trump's – I mean, they've always talked about Trump starting his own network. A lot of people said in 2016 he doesn't want to become president. This is just to help roll out a Trump network. And maybe that was his plan B, if not his plan A. It's much more likely that he would, if he tried to do such a thing, that he'd be tied up in courts, over his taxes and this and that, just like his entire presidency, he was tied up with this or that. But yeah, going to a foreign country, and even if it wasn't Russia, where could he go that is relatively free? I don't know. Maybe he could go to, I don't know. Where would you advise him to go?
I'd go to Belarus.
Yeah.
And I'd have vodka, drive tractors, and play hockey all day. I'm down with that. I might go there anyway.
You can do that. I don't think Trump has experience with any of those.
No. But definitely the Snowden podcast would be what I would recommend. But on a serious note, we're going to see if Trump was for real or not as to how they treat him when this is all over. But that may or may not be a litmus test. The elites do have a way of throwing their own under the bus when they're done with them.
But, you know, going out of the country, they could still try to seize his assets. Right. And a lot of his assets being real estate are not movable.
And the Deutsche Bank has refused to do business with him. I read that article.
And another bank has closed his bank account or something.
Wow. If they can do that to the president of the United States, what could they do to John Q. Public?
And a lot of John Q. Publics out there are asking that.
And which is a good thing that we covered on my show last night is this thing to push all of the Trump supporters and the right wing total into one corner. They have accomplished what people tried to do in the right wing at Charlottesville, unite the right. Well, that was a small portion of the right that showed up to Charlottesville. And the globalist elites who are Jewish dominated have succeeded in uniting the right, wouldn't you say?
Well, I mean, they succeeded not in uniting the right or maybe redefining the right. I don't even know what the whole right thing means. Of course, you've got people who are, you know, conservatives, my principal conservatives, my value caucus. Mitch McConnell and Susan Collins and Mitt Romney and them, and they're not united. But Glenn Greenwald, everybody's favorite gay Jew. I mean, he was on Tucker's show last night with Glenn Beck. I didn't see the Glenn Beck portion, but Glenn Greenwald, he's coming out forcefully for free speech and for, you know, a lot of the same things we are. And not just him. Who else? There are other people. Oh my goodness. Who's that fake black guy from Philadelphia? What's his name? He's got the little pencil mustache. He actually is white, but he says, "No, man, I'm not white. My mom was a slut and she slept with a black guy and that's my real dad." Who am I talking about? King. What's his name? Something King. Sean King.
Yeah.
Sean King is coming out in support of free speech. Is that what he is? No. He's coming out in support of the so-called Capitol rioters because at least he's consistent in supporting riots.
Well, there you go. So we're uniting some of the left, too. It's almost a populist thing.
Yeah, and of course, and Tulsi Gabbard, I mean, that goes without saying. She's been speaking out on these things. I don't know how her position on what went on in the Capitol, but you know, the Capitol is really a great building. It is an awesome building. And I don't know, whatever. I'm not going to start Fed. I don't Fed post, but the Capitol is really just an awesome building. And, and it should have been open that day. It should have been open. They really had no right closing it. They had no right keeping people out of the gallery. I mean, if they wanted to have their metal detector and have people go in and, you know, there's only limited seating in the gallery, they should have done that. The reason they didn't was because of COVID, and they've been closing it off for the past 10 months, and it's wrong.
Well, I'm sure we'll see COVID spikes due to the White House protests and what they're calling riots. So I'm sure Fauci will come out with that soon enough, but, they have bigger fish to fry than the COVID violations. They're just going all out and stamping down free speech. But in the face of this, as we're mentioning all of this right wing uniting, Trump's approval rating is extremely high. And this in the middle of a apparent attempt to impeach him again. Rasmussen reports. And I've got this website that I pulled you. As a political scientist, do you trust Rasmussen?
More than the other pollsters, just simply that he's been more accurate. that he came, I don't know if he predicted Trump's victory in 2016, but Trump got higher poll numbers in Rasmussen than any of the other polls.
Well, it's saying here, Tuesday, January 12th, 2021, Rasmussen reports daily presidential tracking poll sponsored by Slanted from Cheryl Atkinson. For Monday, that would be the 11th, for Monday shows that 49% of likely U.S. voters approve of President Trump's job performance.
49%, and that is probably almost the highest he's ever. I don't know, did he ever get over 50%? I mean, that's way higher than he's usually is. Maybe when he bombed Syria, it was over 50% or something. And it was the wrong 50% that was approving of him.
Rasmussen didn't say this, but I'm making the comment, after the Capitol riots and the demonization, what is that telling us?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's an excellent point, because as much as they've demonized Trump, who has the lowest approval rating? It is it is Congress. I mean, Congress has an approval rating of something like 9%, which is just below, what is it? It's just above crack dealers, or just below. I think it's between crack dealers and assistant crack dealers. I'm not quite sure. But they've got
the only way you can get lower is a pedophile.
Yeah. Well, and there's a lot of overlap there, apparently.
Yes.
Who else, though? But who else has the low approval rating? It's the press.
Yep.
And so these people see what the press and the Congress are doing to Trump, and I think for some people it's maybe your enemy's enemy. I mean, they people really despise Congress. Maybe not their own congressmen, but all the other congressmen they always despise. They hate it as an institution, and they hate the press. And I think they are sympathizing with Trump because it's blatantly unfair, and there's so much blatant hypocrisy.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people. Okay. So I'll share with you the story. I was at a bar on Friday, grabbing me some fish and a nice ice cold IPA. That's India Pale Ale for those out in Rio Rhinelander. Very hoppy beer. And I'm sitting there with some good old boys in Tennessee on the state line. We're talking about, you know, there's some news that flashed over the television on the flat screen about Trump. You know, I look over and I make a few comments just to feel out where these guys are politically. They're younger millennials at the younger end of the millennial scale. And these guys are like, yeah, you know, these people are fortunate that the politicians are fortunate that the protesters didn't go all out and drag them out in the street. And this is the words of the people I'm talking to, like regular good old boys here. And a lot of people are looking at the White House, or not the White House, but the Capitol building incident, and they're actually saying, yeah, you know, we think they should have rioted there and went inside. Not that we here on National Bugle approve of any type of rioting or breaking or violating federal law, but I'm just telling you what these people are saying. The general consensus of Trump supporters out in the country here is that these politicians should have been brought to justice, and that's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to repeat what this person said to me.
Well, how about this? I mean, these people even dressed up with military gear, or the Antifa, I mean, I guess some of them have baseball bats or whatever. The people in the military gear, what did they have? They didn't have, because none of them had weapons. We haven't heard, if they did, we'd know about it. If they had a firearm, we'd know about it. If they had a knife, we'd know about it. What do we know about? They had those nylon zip ties, which are used as makeshift handcuffs. So it would seem that they were intending on maybe apprehending some of these. They were right. I mean, I'm just saying, what would you have those for unless you're planning on apprehending people?
That's true, and I mean, it's hard to tell who's a Fed and who's not, who's legit and who's not, but...
It sure is.
You know, there probably was a small portion of people there that intended on getting to the politicians, and we do not have influence whatsoever.
Or at least making it seem as if they were going to get at politicians, because who knows? And, you know, it's going to take a long time to really sort this out, and we won't have 2020 vision on it without hindsight. But, you know, we'll see who's arrested. And if these people in the dark suit, the dark clothing, or the people in the camouflage clothing, if we never find out who they were, then I think it's pretty safe to assume that they were agent provocateurs, feds, whatever.
And it may be that we may have 2022 vision on this. It may take another year to figure all this out, kind of like Charles took a while to hash out. But I mean, we discussed on my show last night the apprehension of Pelosi's laptop and who has it. It is still missing. The mainstream actually acknowledges that. And the random characters on her Twitter that where somebody was able to access it proves that. And I mentioned that that the theory is floated that Special Forces has it. But I mean, who really has it and who all went into the Capitol? Are we talking about feds posing as Antifa, leading legit Trump supporters with a mix of pro-Trump Special Forces? Is that what we're talking about? It's a question.
So, yeah, who went in? Well, I mean, there were people who obviously were prepared to go in. Who brought particular weapons. I mean, there was the flagpole. Now, the flagpole is that's a typical Antifa weapon. I mean, James Field's car was struck with a flagpole immediately before he accelerated. And so the Antifa do use flagpoles as weapons. Somebody had a Tomfa club, which is one of these martial arts weapons. It's a club that's got a handle on it. Sometimes you see police have it. Let's say the handle that's perpendicular to the club. I saw a picture of somebody with a baseball bat. So there was that.
Right. Okay.
But then you had people like the shaman guy. And I don't know if he was prepared, but to the extent he was prepared to live stream himself, right? I mean, that's he just wanted to be a spectacle. And then there was another guy who was like a boomer who sometimes was kind of like opened his shirt up or whatever. He was the guy sitting at Pelosi's desk, I think. And unless I'm mistaken, I think I saw him outside afterwards. I don't know if he was – I don't think he was arrested in the building. Maybe I'm mistaken. You know, a lot of people look the same. All those boomers look the same. But, yeah, a lot of people – went in for a lark, not a LARP, but a lark. They just because it was fun and exhilarating, I guess. And you know, the people who walked in, because there was some footage of people just walking single file, calmly, single file. I don't know if it was through the rotunda or some you know, there's some large hallways there, and they were just walking single file and like tourists. Did you see that? Well, anyway, we're up on the break, so we'll be right back.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. When every move he makes, another chance he takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man. They've given you a number, hadn't checked it.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. Welcome back to the show. So, tourists, they look like tourists. What did you think of these people who didn't seem like they came to enter the Capitol, but there they were? What was your impression of them?
Just regular, you know, patriots that thought they could go on into a building that they should have been perfectly allowed to go into. But yet we see over 130 arrests and counting. And a lot of them are these particular people. So, yeah, I think that's who they were. Just regular Trump-supporting folks that thought they were doing their patriotic duty by protesting the election hoax and putting pressure on the politicians.
Yep.
That's where I'm at with it.
And then Trump spent a few days not too much in public, but today he reemerged, right?
Stump speech in Texas in front of the fence. I can't in good conscience call it a wall. But it is a fence. And I did pull up an article from Daily Stormer. We don't want to read it verbatim. And I listened to a portion of the speech.
It wasn't very long. You probably heard most of it. I heard it wasn't that long.
Yeah. He went to there. It was described as a crappy speech, actually, by Andrew. Trump wanted to paint in his own Trump fashion. He was painting the picture that he really accomplished a lot with the fence.
Mm-hmm.
What else was it? I had some notes here on this, but yeah. Andrew kind of poo-pooed the speech.
So it a lot of it was typical because Trump is a showman and he's a self-promoter and always talking about all the great things he's done and really hasn't done a whole lot. And, you know, the defense, because it's not a wall. It was all, he couldn't get the wall built. And he got, I guess he wound up getting 400 something miles, which isn't to be scoffed at. But the border is what, from Brownsville, Texas to San Diego. It's isn't it like 1,500 miles or something? It's a lot, you know, and it's not all straight. So it's a long border. And so he only got a small portion of it done. And even that, isn't it the artistic slats instead of actual concrete barrier? So it's not so great. But he's a self-promoter and always saying how, you know, all the great things he's done. And so that's a given. I thought there were two important parts of the speech. One is when he was talking about the crackdown on freedom of speech, which he spoke he only spoke on it a little bit, but he spoke with conviction. But then when you think about it, the only reason he's speaking with conviction is his speech that is being censored now, right? Yes. I mean, when everybody else's speech was being censored, where was he?
Unfortunately, that's true, yes.
Yeah. And then the other part was very brief, but he did kind of briefly throw the rioters under the bus. And, you know, obviously, I mean, we and others think that there was an element of non-genuine Trump supporters or, you know, whatever, maybe infiltrated LARPy militia groups. But still, I mean,
well,
he should stick up for that rally. He should stick up for the rally. And of course he did tell them to go to the Capitol.
He could have addressed that. He could have said, you know, there was a false flag that happened here that is used to demonize us now. But he could have said, I know that a lot of you that were there in the Capitol were legitimate and wanted justice. And I support you now. I mean, he's got nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. And he must know about the Rasmussen poll. There's no way he doesn't know that. So with his approval rating going up higher after the Capitol incident, he should have played to that. He really should have.
Yeah.
Why?
It would be good if he would do some pardons of people who went in. But the fact of the matter is you have to pardon individuals with names. You can't just pardon like a blanket. And of course, there may be people in that blanket that, you know, the agent provocateurs you don't necessarily want to pardon. Although, honestly, in order to keep the good people out of trouble, if you have to let a few of these Antifa go, I mean, they've been letting the Antifa go all year long for years now. It's really more important to save the well-meaning people who are in there. That's my opinion.
Well, and the other thing that he did that was really bad in the speech is, you know, he pivoted from the fence over to the vaccine, and he's really wanting to put his name on this vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they told me it would take 7 years, and we got it done in one.
Yeah.
And it's like, nah, you know, this vaccine is bad, and there's no way he doesn't know that. He's got to push against that.
The thing is, if you start doing something, you know, he was reluctant to buy into the whole corona thing, but he did. He was weak. He got pushed into it, and now he's stuck with it. But we're up on the break, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, This is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And we are back. So there were some people in the Capitol, and some of them were people that we've heard of before.
Well, yeah, I've never heard of Shaman Buffalo guy, but he got arrested. So did the older gentleman in 60-something years old that left Pelosi a note. He was arrested. A dude that carried off Pelosi's podium was arrested and released on $25,000.
It's kind of funny, frankly.
I thought it was hilarious. But what's interesting is he got released on $25,000 bail, which is pretty cheap for a terrorist. And
but I mean, a terrorist, if you're a terrorist, you're going to carry away a podium. Like if I was 17, I'm not trying to condone this or that, but I'm just saying, if I was 17, I probably would have done that.
With your Rebel Flag beach towel and a bottle of Southern
Flag beach towel. That's right.
Yes. But one person that we haven't heard of at all that's gotten any arrest or anything in the media is Baked Alaska. Nothing on that guy. And he is described by the media as a neo-Nazi. So surely, if they're deporting old men who served in World War II that are living in Jewish-dominated neighborhoods in America, aren't they? Why didn't this guy at least, you know, get arrested and bailed out? Nothing. Just throwing that out. Just a question. Something to ponder.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
But you know, this whole political shakeup. Did you have another comment on Baked Alaska?
No, I don't, because you know, was he worked for somebody? Was he in Revolver News, or who did he work for before?
I had him pulled up. He was actually in Black Lives Matter at one time. He's described as a political activist. Name is Joseph Goynet, or Goynet. I'm not sure. Described as a neo-Nazi, anti-Semitic conspiracy theorist. Let's see. Prior to 2016, he was a commentator for BuzzFeed.
Okay, BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
Which is not exactly a hotbed of neo-Nazi anti-Semites.
During which time, before 2016 in BuzzFeed, he supported libertarian and progressive political positions, and he marched in support of Black Lives Matter. Interesting.
Yeah. Of course, when did he do it? You know.
2016,
I don't know. So, I don't know. I just don't know much about him. So,
I will speculate that he is a federal informant, but I know you don't want to confirm or deny.
Well, I wouldn't know anyway. So,
but according, you know, we're seeing a political shakeup, and it's interesting that at the same time that Trump seems to be being thrown under the bus by the system, so is Bibi Netanyahu over in Israel. And I've got an interesting Stormer article that I sent in the prep here. And this is actually going to dovetail with my show on In Plain Sight on Thursday night. That would be January 14th. Reverend Mark Dankoff is going to be on my show. And we're going to talk about this Israeli alliance with Arabs, this new thing that's happened in the last year, as well as the potential third temple that could be built. So if you guys want to tune in for that. But according to the Stormer article, and I wanted to get your political analysis of this, the headline reads, Daily Stormer, the media is beginning to come down on Netanyahu as the Middle East prepares for a large transformation. And Andrew quotes the AP. It says that a leading Israeli human rights group has begun describing both Israel and its control of the Palestinian territories as a single apartheid regime, using an explosive term that the country's leaders and their supporters vehemently reject. Let's stop right there and analyze that. The media is actually calling Israel an apartheid? Isn't that a right-wing talking point?
It's a left-wing talking point. I mean, it is, I think because the right-wingers who are anti-Israel, do they call it an apartheid state? What do they call it? They say things about Israel, but the apartheid was, you know, South Africa, and South Africa apartheid that's villainized by the left more than by the right.
By both at the end of the day, let me clarify. So, of course, it is a left-wing talking point. It has been for decades for any principled leftist. And I would say Jeremy Corbyn would be someone who would have described it as such, and that's what his opposition to Israel was all about. But as far – I'm talking about a far right in the white nationalist circles. You know, people in the white nationalist circles would say, well, look at Israel. They're doing what they accuse Nazi Germany. That sort of talking point, not the mainstream right, but the far right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Media's taking this up now, and that's interesting to me.
Israel's got these, it's got weird politics, and I don't, you've got, I guess in the past 2 years, have you had four general elections? You've had at least three general elections, maybe you're coming up to a fourth, with them all being deadlocked, basically, between the pro-Netanyahu forces and the anti-Netanyahu forces, with this general Benny Gantz, I guess, is the head of the anti-forces, and it winds up with them deadlocked and having to, are they in coalition together? I don't even follow it that carefully, because at the end of the day, even though they've got, they're at each other's throats, it's like, you know, one side wants to genocide the Palestinians, the other side wants to apartheid and ethnically cleanse them. You know, it's hard to see really how different they are. there, you know, sometimes people talk about the right and the left, and, or the doves and the hawks. But the people who have been called doves over the years, who've gotten Nobel Peace Prizes over the years, they're dropping, you know, white phosphorus and also, you know, everything. They're doing everything to the Palestinians. So there's to the extent there's a peace faction, they're not significant. They're not a significant political force. Anything would be genuine. But here's one thing about the Israeli system, which is really, it's ironic. Because Arabs have the vote, not the Palestinians, the so-called Palestinians, but the Arab Israelis, who are the same, they're the same people, but they were the only difference between the Palestinians and the Arab Israelis is where they happened to live in 1948. And the ones who were inside the 48 borders received Israeli passports and are allowed to vote. But because the Arabs are allowed to vote, and I think the Israeli Knesset has 120 members, and the Arabs, even though they're close to 20% of the population, they might get 15 members elected, but they get enough Arabs elected into Parliament, and no Israeli party, Jewish party, is going to have a coalition with an Arab party. They might as well not be there, because they can't get anything passed. They can't be in coalition with anybody. They can't make common cause with anybody. So you could just ignore them. And let's just say if you had 20 Arab deputies in the Knesset, that would mean there's really only 100. There's only 100 Jewish deputies, and but they need not 51 in order to make a cabinet. They need 61. So you have to have basically a supermajority of Jewish deputies, and the only way you can get a supermajority is you have to have these fanatic settler parties and or ultra orthodox parties. You got to make coalitions with these fringe groups. And so the result of having the Arab vote and Arabs in the parliament leads to having governments that are fanatically anti-Arab in charge all the time. And it's just this irony of their political system.
Well, this is being pointed out in this AP article. There's a quote. And now, are you familiar with this Israeli organization? It's called Haggai El Ad, and I'm probably not pronouncing that right.
Maybe not. It sounds familiar, but I don't. But maybe not. Maybe not.
Well, the article in AP that Andrew's quoting is this organization is described as a respected Israeli organization. Now, let me read the quote from them. Here's the quote: "One of the key points in our analysis is that this is a single geopolitical area ruled by one government. This is not a democracy plus occupation. This is apartheid between the river and the sea." Mm-hmm. That's interesting language, is that this so-called respected Israeli organization is calling it an apartheid, the river and the sea. That is Greater Israel lingo. The Mediterranean being the Great Sea and the River Euphrates and all the land therein, all the way up through southern Syria and northern Jordan and Saudi Arabia. So that's interesting.
So the river and the sea, it typically means it were the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea. And I think in the context they're using it, it refers to the West Bank and the state of Israel. You know, and you could probably throw in Gaza and the Golan, which has been annexed. In South Africa, you had petty apartheid, which is, you know, the separate water fountains and this, you know, the kind of the racial segregation. But you also had something called grand apartheid, which was this vision of actually creating, maybe I have it wrong, but creating these independent or nominally independent homelands. And there was a lot of cooperation between white South Africa, the apartheid South Africa, and Israel. They developed a nuclear weapon together. And I don't know how they did develop a nuclear weapon together. And it was known that in the 1970s, it was tested off the southern coast of South Africa. And there's an awful lot of what's going on in Palestine or in Israel, where they, with Gaza, for instance, Israel no longer claims sovereignty over Gaza, but they refuse to let it to be independent. Now, the South Africans never did that. They were trying to set up these countries to be at least nominally independent, and then they would recognize the independence. But Israel's version of this is to turn them into no man's lands that are not part of any state. Gaza is not part of any state. There's no recognized entity that has sovereignty or that claims to have sovereignty over Gaza. And then Israel just bombs the hell out of it. And it's just a bizarre situation, legally and, you know, diplomatically, everything. It's just completely bizarre. So you got this group, I guess it's a so-called Israeli peace group, and they're calling it out. What does that have to do with Benjamin Netanyahu and his fate?
Well, I will get on to that. I just wanted to comment real quick on your analysis of that lingo. You're right. You know, you're pointing out, just for our working class people, the apartheid and the the expected expansion of such. So the quote there between the river and sea, they are talking about, of course, Mediterranean and Jordan. But there is the lingo there. Any Jew familiar with the Greater Israel, and that's why my mind went there. Not that I'm a Jew, but I'm familiar with the Greater Israel. Is that there is a hint that this is going to expand. And so instead of the Jordan, they think of the Euphrates.
So the greater Israel is between the river and the river, and that's a different river. So the Euphrates and the Nile, right?
But and the Great Sea.
Huh?
The Mediterranean. And the Mediterranean, yeah.
Yeah, the Mediterranean Sea. In this context, the river to the sea, I think they're talking about the Jordan, not the Euphrates. Yep. Yeah.
But there's some suggestive lingo there that would make someone's mind jumped to that greater Israel, is what I was trying to point out. I probably didn't articulate it well enough, but I think we got that now.
Yeah, I mean, the greater Israel is a thing. And I remember Stephen Colbert some years ago going into Henry Kissinger's office to interview him, right? And there on the map, on the wall behind Henry Kissinger, was a map. And I did the freeze frame and all of that. And it was a map of greater Israel from the Nile to the Euphrates.
So that's an understood thing in their minds. And then I just wanted to quote one more thing from this AP article before we get to Benjamin. And the AP writes that a respected Israeli organization is adopting a long-term seen as taboo, even by many critics of Israel, points to a broader shift in the debate as its half-century occupation of war-torn lands drags on and hopes for a two-state solution. Wow, cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, Associated Press.
Well, here's the thing. There are some similarities between Israel, what Israel's doing with the Palestinians, and apartheid South Africa. But there's a very, very important difference. Okay, what the Israelis do with the Palestinians is intended to be genocidal, ultimately, and it's really sadistic. And with apartheid South Africa, it was not intended to be genocidal, and it was not sadistic.
Well, if we have time, oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it was pragmatic.
Yeah. Well, if we have time, I want to let Andrew sum this up. I'll just read what he writes here. Here's the basic thing. This is Andrew's summation of what we just talked about. It is impossible for Israel in its current state, as this violent genocidal state, to exist in the world that is coming. What you have witnessed over the course of the last couple of years, particularly in 2020, is that the Arab leaders are coming closer to Jews socially. They're backing down on the women issue, the gay issue. They're accepting Western culture. And as well as to Israel politically, in 2020, virtually every relevant Muslim nation normalized ties with Israel. And we did see that. This is preparing for a consensus type scenario. Jews are going to get to build their new temple next to the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock in exchange for ceasing the brutality against Palestinians. The borders of Palestine are going to be dissolved, with Palestinians gaining some kind of legal status as citizens of a greater Middle East project. That's Anglin's analysis, and he's not wrong. I think that's why the getting rid of Benjamin Netanyahu, as he is just an avid all or nothing cash or chips in Jew, right?
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
I think that's why the getting rid of Benjamin Netanyahu, as he is just an avid all or nothing cash or chips in Jew, right? What's your word for it?
Double or nothing, as opposed to cash in your chips and come back tomorrow.
So Anglin goes on to say, right now you're going to see pressure beginning to come down on Bibi Netanyahu when he is forced out or resigns. The new Israel leader will be someone who is liked by Arabs, or at the very least, celebrated by the leaders of every Arab country. What Andrew's predicting here is that Israel, as we know it today, and as we've known it for decades, is going to be a softer, kinder Israel that's going to fade into this new world order and have many alliances with the Arabs in the area, the Muslims, and the trade-off is going to be they get to build their temple, the third temple. What's your political? I don't expect you to do a religious commentary. Mark and I are going to cover that Thursday night. What's your political commentary on his analysis?
So the hard part is that there is the religious element of this is so intertwined that I don't think I'm capable of doing a political analysis of it because I don't have enough grasp of the religious aspect of it. There are, you know, even though Benjamin Netanyahu and probably the bulk of the Israeli leadership is not very religious or downright atheist, there are these ultra-Orthodox, ultra-religious elements in Israel, and I referred to them earlier when I was talking about the fringe parties, but they have members of parliament, and they have to be appeased. Even if they're a minority, and they're a growing minority because of their birth rate, but even if they're a minority, whichever main party in Israel is going, there's never a party that has a majority. They always have to reach out to these parties to get a coalition. And so these parties have enormous say. And to these parties, the building of the temple can be very, very important. And it's just something I can't comment on. I don't think this is so much from outside. I think this is from inside. So, you know, people might say, well, okay, they got rid of Trump. Now they are getting rid of Netanyahu as if it's something from outside or from above. And I think this is probably something from within and just part and parcel of Israeli politics. But we are running out of time. So why don't you say what you think it is, and then we'll wrap up.
Well, yeah, like I said, Mark Dankoff and I are going to analyze it religiously and prophetically, but it would make sense to me that having a visual, this would be good optics for Israel to have good relations with the surrounding Arab nations, the Muslims, and to have a mosque and a Jewish temple side by side. Isn't that like with everybody wearing masks as they go worship and do their own thing? Isn't that the perfect picture of the New World Order and the push of Israelis and Palestinians living side by side as each worships where they want to?
Yeah.
That's my analysis.
I can't find fault with it. And I look forward to when are you going to be doing this with Mark?
Let's see, Thursday night, January 14th, on In Plain Sight, 9 p.m. Central, RBN.
I will be listening. I guarantee you that. Okay, well, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Patrick, and you guys stay classy, as I know you will, RBN.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with a very exciting Boomer Vision. Yes, Boomer Vision is back. So, I'll see you then.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.